about him, you know, writing a letter to his brother, you know, somebody writing a letter from prison to him, one love, because my brother, who has since died last year, I had to preach his funeral, died after 30 years in prison, was there, and so that struck me. So yeah, we did a book on that, man. That was pretty dope.
It's interesting. You've been teaching this course at Georgetown for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and so much has happened in Jay-Z's life in the course of that 10 years. So it's how do you adjust incredible. To that as you come up with your syllabus every year?
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, you got to evolve, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Hov is putting out so much work, and putting in so much work, and doing so many things. Because it's not just the music he's doing; it's what he's doing beyond the culture. Of hip-hop itself, or it's especially beyond rap. So his business ventures, his engagement in the world, his entrepreneurial, you know, exploits, his criminal justice reform stuff, all of that stuff. And then just the music itself, just the words themselves,
mm-hmm.
The density of his poetic inventiveness is something that I'm preoccupied with. So every time out, you know, we focus on a different aspect or a different level of his creativity and look at new stuff he's done, whether, you know, he might have just gone to, you know, Cuba with Beyonce,
mm-hmm.
and he's snapping it back at people who are trying to criticize him. He might be talking about, you know, his, you know, elevation into the billionaires club. He might be speaking about a recent social injustice that he needs to address. So there's always fresh fodder for the cannon when it comes to Hov.
How often do you guys communicate with each other?
You know, pretty routinely. You know, the best thing he did for me on this book, people say, well, it's just an interview. No, because I got my ideas. I don't need to interview Hov. I've been thinking about him for a decade. The most amazing thing he did for me was to allow me to quote from these lyrics so that I could stretch out and interpret them. Because, you know, and most publishers are very skittish.
Mm-hmm.
Only do half a sentence.
Yeah, you gotta pay for it. Yeah,
you gotta pay for it. Copyright. We might get sued. And so
I don't think the recording is there.
Man, can you help?
Can
me
I live?
Can you? God forgive me for my brash delivery, but I remember vividly what these
streets did to me.
Imagine me allowing you to nitpick at me, betray me like a pickaninny. So, you know, and I had asked it him, could he give me permission? And when he signed off, it blew my publisher's minds. But that's why even on the cover, you see the lyrics to the...
All participants are muted.
Off there. It's a pretty dope cover.
The recording has started.
I didn't do it, but it's a pretty nice cover. And we wanted to do something that was worthy of Hov. On the inside, you can see that Basquiat-influenced kind of artwork
mm-hmm.
on the inside there. So, you know, he gave permission to do that, and that makes a big difference.
Why is the book dedicated to Michael Rubin and Robert Frederick Smith?
Yeah, well, you know, both of them are, interestingly enough, are connected to Jay.
Okay.
On his criminal justice reform, reform alliance. And, you know, Michael Rubin was instrumental in helping Meek Mill get out of jail. So for that alone, I got to give you some love.
Yeah.
But then understanding that you got to leverage that to a larger issue that Jay is concerned about. Cash bails are jacked up. The kind of dysfunction of the criminal justice system that saw Meek Mill go in and out of prison for parole violations for a decade for some nonsense when he was a child or a young teen or a teenager. And then, you know, to address that as they used to call them owners, but partners of the Philadelphia 76ers is worthy of that. And Robert Frederick Smith, when you go to Morehouse and drop 40 mil on him.
Yes, sir.
And say, look, I'm going to take care of your bills.
Yes, sir.
And your future is vouchsafed and it's secure as a result of what this gesture is about. I got to show love and respect. So both of them are connected to that reform alliance, but both of them have done significant things to advance the ball in terms of advocating for the future of young black men in America and young black people.
What has Jay-Z gotten right in this whole NFL situation, and what has he gotten wrong?
Well, look, I think that, you know, people say, oh, he sold out. He just messed up. He first of all, he's rocking the Colin Kaepernick jersey, and then he turns around and he's telling other artists not to be involved in the Super Bowl, and then he turns around and he's advising them, and he's cutting a deal. I think what people misunderstand is that you got to have a three-point shooter and you got to have baseline.
Mm.
You got to have Steph Curry and you got to have LeBron going in and jamming the ball. And you got to have people occupying both spaces, inside, outside. Martin Luther King Jr. standing outside, I Have a Dream, criticizing the social injustices that prevail. But then Martin Luther King Jr. going inside with Lyndon Baines Johnson, the president, and saying, how do we craft the Civil Rights Bill of 1964? How do we craft legislation for the Voting Rights Act? Now, the Voting Rights Act is brought into existence not because of the good graces of the presidency or the desire, even though LBJ wanted to do that, but he wanted to have a social condition that prevailed, a political pressure brought to bear to make it sensible to do so. Mm-hmm. That's how things work.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that famous story that Harry Belafonte loves to tell, that FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was the president back in the early part of the mid part of the 20th century, is having lunch with A. Philip Randolph and I think Mary McLeod Bethune. And he said, look, I agree with everything you're out there protesting about. Now make me do it. So go out there, raise enough consciousness, put enough pressure that I have no other recourse but then to do what is necessary to do to sign legislation. King understood that.
Yes, sir.
Stokely Carmichael understood that.
Yes, sir.
Ida B. Wells earlier understood that, and certainly so many other, Septima Clark, Joanne Robinson, Ella Baker, Fannie Lou Hamer, and the like. So the point is, you got to have both and, not either or. And so when Jay-Z is out putting pressure on the NFL, people don't give him credit for this, that the fact that he said, don't go do the Super Bowls and halftime shows, and look,
yeah,
we
NFL,
in stadiums too.
Yeah, NFL needs me. We don't need them.
We in stadiums too. That puts pressure. They didn't just do it because of the goodness of their hearts. They saw this man wields significant economic influence and cultural power, and as a result of that, the pushback was genuine and palpable. So now they invite him in to have a conversation. What's he supposed to go? No, I want you to do right. Oh, but I'm not going to tell you what I think is right. Well, if I tell you what you're doing is wrong, and then you invite me into the conversation to say what's right, I got to sit down and tell you. If your wife rolls up on you, what you're doing is jacked up. Well, I'm sorry. Can you help me do better? Sure. Let me tell you X, Y, and Z. So the thing is, to have maybe a weak analogy, but one that is relevant. So for me, Jay-Z going inside is really responding to the pressure he brought to bear on the outside. And sitting down talking about either the acts that are going on at halftime, all right, but the social justice agenda. And do we really doubt that Colin Kaepernick, whatever you think of that, Colin Kaepernick, a bold, amazing, iconic social justice figure, would never have had an opportunity to even have what is now a botched,
mm-hmm.
you know, tryout mm-hmm. and audition for the NFL without Jay-Z bringing pressure to bear. Now, the people who were critical of Jay said, well, damn, you think at least he could have done is got my man a job.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, that ain't how it works. Are you not understanding of how mm-hmm. it works? Roger Goodell, who is the commissioner, can't even go to a team and make them do it.
No.
But can they leverage authority? Yeah. Can they say, wink, wink, nah, nah, come on, bruh. Let's do something for this guy. Jay-Z is putting enormous pressure. You know Roger Goodell, if he wanted to do that, he would have done so before Jay-Z came on the scene.
Absolutely.
So we know Jay-Z's presence was significant there. We know that Jay-Z leveraged his political and cultural capital, so to speak, to be able to provide this opportunity for Colin Kaepernick. So for me, it's the inside versus outside dichotomy that we've got to reckon with, and we got to stop the hate. If you disagree with me, then I'm a coon. Then I'm a sellout. I'm not saying that there are not people who have done dastardly things in the name of racial duty and who deserve to be called out or at least called to account. But the ready resort to trying to beat people up and you a coon and you know what? You cooning somebody today and you're going to be cooned the next day.
Well,
you canceling somebody today, you're going to get canceled yourself the next day.
Yeah, and they did the same thing to MLK Jr. They called him a coon. They called him a sellout.
He died
depressed with anxiety. Like,
oh, my God. And he was called a sellout by Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Who people elevate Malcolm, whom I love and adore. Malcolm X, who said that King was the greatest weapon the white man has ever had. He was a Tom talking about King. And then he's basically canceling King. And then he gets canceled because some of his own fellow black believers believe that he's a traitor to the cause.
Yeah.
Dude, once you get down that slippery slope, ain't no ending to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Welcome to the show. Should I call you professor? I don't know what to even
Michael Eric Dyson is good. Michael is even better.
Okay, great. Michael, tell me about this. You teach this course, class at Georgetown.
Right.
About Jay-Z. Why did you pick Jay-Z?
Well, he's one of the most extraordinary poets we have in American culture today. As I call him in the book, Robert Frost with a Brooklyn accent, Rhea Dove with a Jesus piece. I mean, he's a guy who understands poetry. You got a poetic genius over here in Tariq, one of the greatest rappers ever. And you got Jay-Z who combines serious literary devices, poetry, and that kind of stuff with the common everyday experiences of human beings. And he's able to put it together in such a powerful fashion. So when I teach the class, I tell them, we're not just going to come in and go, hey, some dope lyrics and Jay's cool. We want to get to the depth. What was Brooklyn when he was born? What was 1969? He arrived the same day that Fred Hampton died. What does that mean politically? What does it mean for the projects when he says, you know why they call the projects a projects? Because it's a projects wherein we are the experiment. So I wanted to really probe his consciousness to see the political context in which he was born and then understand him as a figure and an icon in American society. So that takes a lot of history, sociology, politics. Then we get to the dope lyrics.
Yeah. You break the book down into three categories.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us what those are?
The first one is hustling. The historian Walter McDougall says that hustling is the central motif of American history, both in the sense of go-getters and people who are on the take. So I try to look at what Jay-Z talks about. You know, he explains why he became a hustler when he says, all the teachers couldn't reach me and my mama couldn't beat me hard enough to match the pain of my pop not seeing me. So with that disdain in my membrane, got on my pimp game. Forget the world. My defense came. So he's explaining father absence and hurt and pain at the house drove him out into the world. So I talk about how he hustled selling drugs, but how he transformed that hustling from the streets into the suites to become a CEO.
Yeah. Wow. Look at that. I mean, that's a great Made in America is exactly a great title for that. Because
oh, yeah. I mean, it's American. It's American. I mean, American as American can be. And then the second part is poetry, where I talk about as great as he is and as clever and witty as he is, people miss the kind of literary inventiveness. You know, he said, look, I would write it if y'all could get it, but being intricate will get you wood, critic, on the internet. They're like, you should spit it. I'm like, you should buy it. That's good business. That's a rhetorical device, and he's saying, don't just have me out here spitting it. Pay for what I'm talking about. And then the third one is politics, where he talks about a wide range of things. You know, we know when the rim is in the system, they know, tell him, will I love him, will I diss him, an allusion to Biggie. But he also talks about a lot of other stuff besides bling and bacchanalia and gleeful booty. He talks about common issues that people can deal with. He was saying Bin Laden been happening in Manhattan. Anthrax was cracked back then. Police was Al-Qaeda to black men. So he's talking about the tension between police departments and black people and trying to break that down. So I thought those three categories allow me to explore just how smart a guy he is and also how observant he is about American culture.
I think it's fantastic. It's fascinating. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
You got to come back.
I got to come back, man.
My mind is welcome. We're here speaking dreams into existence, man.
I told over 1 million lies. The last one introduced the value of truth. Too afraid to show my eyes to a world that can see me uncool. I fell in love with success, wealthy. I guess I cheated on failure ever since I was a minor.
My mind's been major.
I bet on myself, that was my best wager. Now the cards dealt are in my favor. Mom's had screws in her leg like Superman in his head. The doctor said that she would never walk again. So I told my mama, close your eyes, use your mind. Through the power of thoughts, baby, you can fly. And that is why I never put your dreams in the hands unknown. Couldn't find a job, so I created my own. And everything around me kept going wrong. Thoughts of wealth kept me strong.
I'm a believer, so there's nothing you can tell me. I see the vision, there's nothing you can tell me. I'm on a mission, can anybody hear me? My mind is wealthy.
Top of the morning to you, Billionaire PA. My mind is wealthy. And then Michael Eric Dyson gave you an insight to another, the billionaire himself, Jay-Z, Made in America. That's the new book out, folks. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to the Billionaire Mastermind Forum. Good morning, good morning. Who do we have out there?
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. I see, there she goes. She's loving her life. She's loving her life. Yeah, working on getting
the guy that's speaking. What's the guy
Michael,
that's speaking, Michael Professor?
Michael Eric Dyson. He's a professor at I think it's Georgetown University. Michael Eric Dyson. Mm-hmm. He teaches a course there. The course is on.
Oh, it was Howard.
Huh?
Yeah.
Is it Howard?
No, it's not Howard.
Okay.
That's not Howard. Just check that out for me to make sure. Loving my life. Let's talk about
Mama,
it.
Go.
Mama, go.
I love my life. I love my life. I love my life. I love my life.
No, we don't know where tomorrow might bring. Got the future, the hours away. So
yes.
May I live my life today. May I live my life today.
Folks, if you just stopped by, you just tuned into the Billionaire Mastermind Forum, and you kind of say, well, who's this and what's going on? Well, we've been here 11 years. My name is Dr. Ali Yassin, the prosperity philosopher, Dr. Goldrich Vine. And we're here this morning, and we have some of our co-hosts with us, and I think we have two. Billionaire Baby, and I heard Billionaire's Happy as well. But one of our mottos is the BMF Mastermind Forum is like a box of chocolates. You never, ever know what you're going to get. But you know that you're going to take away something that's going to be good. And as a result of that, guess what? You probably could end up a little more happier today than you was yesterday.
Might seem crazy, what I'm about
yeah.
to say.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes you feel you can take a break.
Yes, if I'm here, you can take a break.
Hot air balloon, I can go to space.
Come on.
With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
One more time. Come on, Ben. Come on.
Give me all you got and don't
give it
hold
to me.
Back.
Come on.
Well, I should probably warn you, I'll be just fine.
I'll be okay. Give it to me.
No offense to you, don't waste your time.
No offense to you, don't waste your time. Yes.
I have that information whenever you're ready.
Okay, good morning, good morning. Well, folks, welcome to the Billionaire Mastermind Forum. We come to you each and every morning with that sole purpose for creating a mastermind alliance. And it says when two or more minds come together, it has the ability to stimulate and activate the divine source that's within you. And so what we're saying that everything that you are seeking is also seeking you is another way of putting it, but it's right there in your state of consciousness. And all you got to do is download all the good that you desire. Yeah, when you wake up, Bill says,
and the sunlight hurts my eyes.
The sunlight hurts your eyes. Good morning.
Something without one love.
Yes, yeah. Come on, Bill.
There's heavy on my mind.
Come on.
Then I look at you.
Come on.
And the world's all right with me.
Bill, it's great to have someone to look at in the morning.
Just one look at you.
Just one look.
And I know it's gonna be.
It's gonna be.
I love that day.
I can't find my song, so I got to play Lady Tycoon's song. I swear, I look everywhere for my song. Some pop song. Oh, gosh. Welcome to Big Money Wednesday, folks. Life is...
Where are you now, Allie?
I'm home, getting ready, getting packed. I'll be leaving in the morning at 11. I'll be landing in Fort Lauderdale tomorrow afternoon. So I'll be tomorrow afternoon. I don't know if you can figure out how to put some what do you call it, in the South, withers? I'm trying to be funny. Food together, that's what I'm saying. It'd be great to have a home-cooked meal.
How long are you going to be down here?
I'll be leaving Tuesday, so I'll be down there 5 days.
I get a chance to see you.
You get a chance to see me. Well, good morning, folks. I've been under the weather, and Lord knows the weather's been under me with the snow and this ice. it's been an interesting spin here, but it's all good, folks. You know, even when you have your challenging experience in life, especially in your health and your pain, and you're praying and you're asking for relief, and you're taking this, and all of a sudden you get relief, and you say, oh, my gosh, this stuff works. But it's about faith and prayer and belief. I mean, all this stuff we take is good, but the body can heal itself, I'll tell you that right now. So, this is Big Money Wednesday, and today, think like a billionaire, but hustle like you broke. That's a whole movement going on. It's a T-shirt. You can get one. I wish I had picked up one. Gosh, I'd wait to the last minute. I love to wear that down on Miami South Beach. Think like a billionaire, hustle like you broke. That would go pretty good down on South Beach, wouldn't it? but it goes good here this morning as we listen to Jay-Z. There's his book, Made in America, Michael Eric Dyson, and give us that information.
Billionaire is happy. Michael Eric Dyson has taught at Chicago Theological Seminary, Brown University, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Columbia University, DePaul University, and the University of Pennsylvania. Since 2007, he has been a professor of sociology at Georgetown University. Did you want to hear anything else about him, his education?
He's
born October 23rd, 1958, in Detroit. He was educated at Cranbrook School in Detroit, Collegiate Preparatory High School at Northwest, it looks like. And his works were written, Making Malcolm X, The Myth and the Meaning of Malcolm X, and Come Hell or High Water. And this is from Wikipedia.
Mm. Wow, he was prepared. He's an incredible gentleman. But the reason I'm bringing this to your attention is the book out.
How old is he? He's born in
1923?
October 23rd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He looked to be about 50s, in his 50s. Bring it to your attention on Big Money Wednesday is why I bring this up. The book, you can download it for $11. Jay-Z, Made in America. That's the title of the book. And why it's so important, he is the first black hip-hop billionaire. And about 30% of his wealth came from the tours and the records and selling. But 70% of his wealth came from investments. I mean, he even invested in Uber, and you already talked about that before. But a lot of art and Uber, I can think of some of other investments. A streaming company that he started. But just to show you that wealth is created through the asset formula that I talk about, asset-based wealth. And Jay-Z is an incredible story. From the projects to the becoming a billionaire, folks, that's an incredible feat to go from hustling drugs in the street, selling albums out of the trunk of his car. And I still, and to this day, that's why I couldn't play one, because I didn't understand any of his lyrics, I swear. Maybe I'm too old, I don't know. Some of them I do get a little bit, but and this guy, Michael Dyson, teaches a course in Georgetown University for the last 10 years on Jay-Z. What an incredible breakthrough, folks, for all of us to pay attention to. And then I played My Mind is Wealthy by, you hear me play that all the time, but Billionaire PA, who was sleeping in the truck of his car, in the truck. Forget how many days, how many months. It was quite a while. And he ended up writing 40-something books. So, and his goal is speak your dream into reality. He want to get 1 billion people to go online on your cell phone and speak your dreams into reality. And that goes in line with the Billionaire Mastermind form. We talk about that. Download all the good that you desire. It's right there waiting for you. So, Big Money Wednesday, the thought I guess I want you to carry away from this today is think like a billionaire and hustle like you're broke. Kind of a theme. And some people might have issue with the word hustle because, you know, some people say, well, if you're hustling, you might be taking advantage of people. Well, I don't know how to explain how we are being taken advantage of. It looks like we're being hustled right now, to tell you the truth. It's like we're being taken advantage of in many areas in our lives. We get the short end of the stick all the time. We as a people of color. And if you go